from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Guru Steiny show. Let's go.
Oh, the things that we can and can't say, Goo.
Well, I'm going to say this.
What?
Tell me if you remember this, because you're my guy. My boy Tone, he's a P1.
It's a bit hazy.
He calls you intelligent. He loves you on the mic.
Thanks, Tone.
So he texts me again. He goes, Evan's in his bag on fire. Last time I text you that, you made it sound like I was talking about him. I go, Tone, relax. Step back. I told Evan the great compliment you gave him. I just did it now. But he goes, Evan is shining right now. That's what he said. I go, Evan, you got a fans, well, baby.
Thanks, Tone. No, yeah. Look, dude, you do a great job of just...
It's not about me. It's you, Evan.
I am the system of this show.
Boy.
No, but you're Rod Strickland. I mean, you give me passes, you know, right in the pocket.
I saw highlights of him. He was special.
Seen highlights of him.
Strickland was a bad boy.
There's a lot of great guards that have gotten lost in history. Kenny Anderson. One of my favorites when I was young. This is an aside. We'll get back to baseball in a minute.
We got time.
Get out of far on. Now, Rafer Alston. Skip to my Lou. That guy was a beast. All right. Evan Infrastati. Again, he'll be back next week. He's out in London town. And we got Daryl the Guru Johnson with you as always. Speaking of Daryls, let's kick off this segment with a Daryl and Alameda. Lots to talk about the Giants and their season thus far. Daryl, how's it going, man? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I just have to ask you guys, at the beginning of the season, what exactly were your expectations? Because I looked at the team, there was literally no speed on the team. Speed kills in sports, all around any sport. No one was bringing in a hot or a 300 average or anything like that. And then you keep focusing about Soleil. How do we know and his agent didn't ask to be released, or not released, but traded during the deadline? I mean, why would you want to stay? And when you talk about Duvall looks totally disinterested in the team.
Man, he does.
I mean, who exactly is he bonding with on the team?
Wow.
It's like you just put together a bunch of guys, middle-aged guys, and said, hey, make it happen. And you got an average manager, and you're asking him to make something out of nothing. I mean, my expectations were not high when I saw what they were rolling out, period.
I appreciate the call, but I'll say this to his call, Evan.
I think everybody was pretty optimistic.
And Farhan, we were all throwing bricks and rocks at him, like, what's going on? Nobody will dance with you. And then a flurry of moves came, and this is Norm Johnson. Evan, never mistake activity for achievement. But I did that with the Giants because Farhan got somebody to say, I'll come. Now, we'll talk about Chapman and Snell only because of the relationship they had with Melvin. Melvin. But whatever, it worked. But what this caller, and he knows baseball, I do have to take issue with a little bit. Speed, you can look around the game. The ball's going out the park. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
But I love me some speed. And average is not where it's at. It's the ball going out of the park, but I love me some average. So if you could catch my drift, Evan, and to the caller's point, the Giants on paper had a guy, Soler, that could hit 35 home runs. The point you make about Duvall, I'm with you, but he had been stellar here the last couple years, so who was to say that that was going to evaporate? But the bottom line is I got excited because Farhan was able to put together some moves and got a hefty payroll, and I bit hook, line, and sinker.
Well, that's why I wasn't as high on the Giants as maybe some around the station. Like, I heard people throwing around 90 wins and
boy, I don't think I,
you know, the
that.
Automatic playoff berth. No, but could this team, I think their over-under is 83.5. I thought that was pretty accurate. Like, 84 wins is just about right for that team for me. And right now, it doesn't look like they're going to get there. 84 wins is not something you should strive to achieve, but coming off a season in which you were, I think, you had 79 wins, that's a 5-win improvement. That's a little bit better. And that might, 84 wins is what the Diamondbacks had last year, got them into the World Series. So that's where I was at with this team. But I did expect them to make the postseason, to at least be involved in the mix. And I guess technically they're not out of it. But every other team in front of them won yesterday. They right now, I think, sit 5 back from the wild card.
Evan.
And it doesn't look like things are getting any better because, again, talking about how to improve the team, your chance to improve the team was yesterday.
And you can't hit. This thing is ongoing. But I got to bring this up because a caller alluded to it. Do you think that Soler, forget the audacity from Farhan when we got the best rotation in baseball, the way Soler was playing, do you think he even went to his agent or would, I don't know if you would have did it, but when I'm not at my best, I'm damn sure not playing the car to get me out of here. He brought that up, but I don't think that happened with Soler at all.
No, but there were too many signings that were, there was risk involved, honestly, in all of it. Like, if you really want me to start poking holes in every single signing, I can do it. Chapman was coming off of what I think a hip injury last year.
Finger issue early, but only 17 home runs last year, 16.
Hasn't been a great hitter at the plate with power in a few seasons. You look at Blake Snell. Well, he's a guy that always, he always starts slow. Especially if he doesn't have a spring training, you can't expect a pitcher to all of a sudden just dominate out of the gates in April and May. Him getting hurt was unfortunate, but that also has happened throughout his career. Mm. I don't think he's ever thrown more than 180 innings in a season. So Blake Snell is not a guy that's going to give you a bulk. Jung-Hoo Lee, I mean, it sucks that he got hurt because I would love to see him.
That was the biggest roll of the dice, right?
Well, it was also a 6-year investment, and that's a player who's played in Korea before. You know, you don't know how he's going to face against Major League Baseball players. Jorge Soler, yes, every season that he's remained healthy, he's actually the most perplexing one because when he's been healthy,
oh my gosh, man,
he has produced. This is the first season in which he's been healthy for the majority of the season thus far and has not done diddly squat. So that one also had some holes because he's kind of an injury-prone player. He's only played 4 full seasons in 10. So you can go down the list. Robbie Ray, you went out and acquired him. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. I don't know how he's going to respond. Man. You know, you knew that Alex Cobb was coming off of injury. You were expecting him to be back, but when? Jordan Hicks, okay, you signed him for 4 years, but was it as a reliever? Was it to become a starter? How are you going to make that transition? Because his arm looks like it might fall off. Yeah. I'm not so sure. There are all these different moves that they made that in an ideal situation could produce a playoff team, but there were too many, I don't know, trap doors, quite honestly, built into all of these players. And I think that's why they were able to get them in the first place. But trying to cobble together a lot of wild cards means that, yeah, you might hit a flush, you might hit a straight, but you also might just end up with a bunch of 7-2 offsuits and be forced to go right back to reshuffling the deck, which is what they're doing right now, it appears.
No doubt. No doubt. You cannot paint a picture or get on any microphone or podcast or phone or talk to a friend and have a conversation about the Giants got better at the deadline by letting Soler, who was struggling, but, you know, it looked like he was coming on, letting him walk. Can I read this to you, Evan, because kind of hit me.
Oh, go for it.
Melvin has made a living out of making something out of nothing, not the other way around. I like that, but here, Evan, this, come on now.
Well, he's also made something out of something. I mean, 2 years ago, he was in the NLCS with the Padres team that beat 2 100-win teams in the National League. Last year, they fell flat on their face. But this year, yeah, I mean, okay, yes, he did make something out of nothing in regards to contracts. But if you look at the teams that Melvin has got to the postseason, I'm not even talking about in Oakland. You can go back to Arizona. You can go back to
Sunny Gray.
You can go back to Seattle. Yeah, the teams that he has had that have been successful, sure, he's extracted the most out of, but they've also been good.
Right.
They've also had players, and players that might not be compensated, but you can see the talent. You can see the skill. Right now, the Giants are back to this place of just hoping that their young players, there might be something there. And that's why it is confusing as to the tone set by Farhan yesterday. Let's just take a look or listen to him talking about Blake Snell and what it would have taken essentially to move off of
him. Trading him would have changed the course of this season, where we still believe in what we can accomplish. And again, you know, leaning into our youth, leaning to our rotation is really the plan. So someone really came to us with something we thought could really change our future, you know, then, and you're making that sort of trade-off of the present versus, you know, 2026, 2027. You know, that's challenging. But again, I think the way things have come together, this rotation, it was really going to have to be something that we thought would do just that, just like really change the course of future years for this organization and not just be sort of a package of prospects that, you know, would slide into this slot and that slot on your Baseball America list, you know, and that just didn't happen.
One foot in, one foot out.
Wow. And now you're facing, fast forwarding, Evan, getting nothing for Snell if he decides he wants to go somewhere else. So I would take something for, you know, something's better than nothing. But if that were to present itself, that would just be ugly. If he decides he doesn't want to be here, and then you say the reason you didn't move him is you weren't overwhelmed. But, man, if you could have got something, if that ends up being the truth, he walks for nothing. How bad does that look?
It does look bad. That's why the body language doesn't match the messaging. Because if you are to clear space for your young players, right? That's why they traded Cobb, to provide a runway for Birdsong. And they got rid of Soler to save some money, but to provide a runway for Luciano. Okay, that tells me that you have some belief in your young players. That's a direction. Okay, so why then are you expecting these two relatively unknown players that have talent to not just replace the production, but elevate it? And then you're going to keep Snell because you want to make a push to the postseason, but you're not willing to move off of him for a package of prospects, but you're actually promoting your prospects from within and you're trying to empower your prospects. I don't really know what they're trying to accomplish.
Man,
it feels like they want to have their cake and eat it too, but the cake is actually more of like a yogurt. Like it's not what you think it is.
A parfait.
I wish. That was actually pretty good. But like, you know what I'm saying? It feels like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And I'm not really sure I heard much of anything on why they chose to not trade Blake Snell. If you tell me that there wasn't a package out there that you thought was good enough for him, that makes sense. What I want to hear, because I don't know, this was my takeaway yesterday, it feels like they're looking towards 2025. So if your reason for keeping Snell is you believe that you can get him back in the fold next year, well then, if I look at the rotation next season, and I see a healthy Ray, I see a healthy Snell, I see Webb, I see Birdsong, I see Harrison, maybe Hicks, I'm not sure, but that's a rotation I can envision being one of the best in baseball.
But you still got to score.
But even currently, that rotation is not where you need it to be because Snell has been hurt a lot this season. He's come out of it now, but I don't know, he might regress a little bit. Robbie Ray's working his way back from Tommy John surgery. He's not going to be the best version of himself this season. Birdsong, who's 22 years old, is probably not going to be the best version of himself this season. Harrison, you could say the same. Those guys are getting to their innings limit. Like, this is not a team that, in my opinion, is built based on what he's telling us to lean all the way in and have the rotation carry them, because there are issues with each and every one of their pitchers. So if that's the strength of your team, like I'm sorry, I just don't see it. And that's why I believe that there's a disconnect between the front office and the locker room. And the Giants right now as a franchise just feel disconnected.
And that's why I brought up, well said, that's why I brought up Duvall, you know. And again, you got to take accountability for one's action and what you do and what you bring to the yard every day. But something just seems, I'm looking at him, Evan, and I'm like, this is not who he's been. And everything that you just said, you're right. And that's why I was offended by what Farhan said about the best rotation in baseball, when guys haven't even been healthy enough to go through, you know, series to where, wow, you know, it's been a super short sample size. And then Robbie Ray yesterday, that wasn't nothing to write home about, but we understand it. Brother trying to work it out. But for you to sit there and tell the masses, you know, like it's a definite and we've seen it, that shocked me. But Evan, he also used these numbers, 2026. Like right now, boy, I'm thinking like this thing is going to get worse before it gets better. And I think that started yesterday at the deadline, and that's why I'm feeling today on this hump day, Wednesday, that dude, Run DMC, hard times are coming, and it's going to get more uglier than it is now, especially if one third of your big three in regard to pitchers decides to take his services and opt out next year. Like, that's a reality.
Yes, and it's one that, again, would just set you back.
For
every step they take forward, they either take one or two steps back. You know, it's not the other way around the way you want it to be. Carlito's been waiting patiently. He's out of Alameda. What's going on, Carlito? How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. Listen, guys, I'm going to put the rat on the table. 6 years is too long. Farhan Zaidi is a nice guy.
Brought to you by Atco Pest Control.
I would love to have a road trip with him. He's a nice guy, but he's got to go. And here's the thing, Guru. I wouldn't wait till the end of the year. I'd get rid of him right now. Thank you.
Well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well.
That ship left the dock. He had a great chance yesterday, right?
Every day is a great chance to win a game. But, again, that's why, like, okay, so, all right, you're a gambling man.
Yeah.
I bet on occasion. Mainly the ponies. But the
USA
A's were
plus 29 today. South Sudan, 12 o'clock. Go ahead.
Didn't they only win that game by one in an exhibition?
LeBron had to make a left-handed layup.
Dude, that was real close. Been the biggest upset since Miracle on Ice.
My bad. Go ahead, E.
The Sudanese, they got some players.
Yes, they do.
I know Steiny's hot on them. But the A's were plus 165 yesterday. So,
and you said it might be good value. I heard that.
That's a pretty big get. Like, I don't think the A's are a great team. They're playing well, but I don't think they're a good team overall. Like, I'm sorry, I would take that value. You know, tonight might be a little bit different, but that's part of the issue right now. No matter who the Giants play, you could see them losing. Like, I know they just beat the Rockies four games. If they lost one of those games, I could probably see it.
And that's why I'm mad at myself for playing the schedule game of, oh, we play the Nationals, we play the Rockies. Evan, guess what I figured out? And I'm proud. You are those teams. That's who you are. You are three games under 500. You've never won. You had a chance for the first time this year to win five in a row, Evan. Again. And you just got embarrassed. That's what that was last night to me. And I don't want to go down this avenue, but I'm sitting there watching the game with Pops. Evan, you were there, and I'm going to ask you this, not putting you on the spot.
Bombs away.
It looked like there were a couple seats available. How was the population, would you say, yesterday?
I mean, it was a good crowd.
Okay.
For,
all right. I'm just asking.
It was a good crowd for a Tuesday night, but was it packed? No.
Okay.
And I think the more damning part about it, and we've seen this more often than not with, I don't want to say rivalry teams, but, I mean, the Dodgers, like the aesthetic of the entire bleachers being
just, like, oh my gosh,
all blue, stood out a few weeks ago. Yesterday, I feel you could hear Let's Go Oakland chants. And not that look, if a team's playing well, that's going to happen. But it was because the Giants fans were understandably deafening. There was nothing to cheer for. I think they had one hit through the first, what, three innings?
But you don't couple need of base Soler. Runners. Yeah, you don't need him.
And no Giants fan, not that they should, nobody knows who's pitching for the A's. Nobody knows who J.P. Sears is, nor should they. He's not a bad pitcher, but he's a Jag. He's just a guy.
And this is why, Evan, I want to apologize to the Shaskies. Like
Thanksgiving turkey.
The Bontes. I don't know where Lubman stands. I kind of do, but he's real where it fluctuates. But, Evan, to all the fans that say, you know what, to hell with that third wild card. We're better than that. This team is not ready to do what Arizona did. I don't think that way. I'm not built that way. Get me in, and let's see what happens. But, Evan, it's all starting to come into focus for me that, you know what, this team is not good enough. So how can I have more passion and root for the math when the guys that matter the most don't do their part night in and night out? They were getting dominated yesterday by the A's pitcher, JP.
Yes, they were. And look, tonight they could bounce back and get a win, but I'm not sure it erases. Again, it's not just about
ground.
The game.
Yeah.
It's about what the game followed. It's about what preceded the game, which was a lifeless deadline, a lifeless press conference, and a lifeless performance.
Thank you.
All. I mean, that's the holy trinity of lifelessness.
Yeah, all negatives.
And we saw it play out back to back to back. And there hasn't really seemed to be an answer. I'm trying to find one. I mean, seriously, we come in here, we got 4 hours every single day. I'm trying to find an answer for you of what Farhan did yesterday, what he told us yesterday, and what it means. And the circle of life with the Giants right now, or the circle of lifelessness with the Giants right now, as we keep coming back to, I can't really figure it out.
Man.
Where is this thing going?
And I think it's time the guy that's in charge of figuring out where they're going, I think he's on his ninth life, Evan, and it's time just to hit a reset. And the reset is new hope, new opportunity, benefit of the doubt, because I just don't know how anybody could muster giving Farhan another opportunity in regard to another year to come back and say, you know what, I failed in 7 years. I think this is the one. It's old, it's stale, and I get the guys that, the Giant fans, that don't even want to see this team kind of limp into the offs, Evan. I get it.
It was a deadline that left a lot to be desired. Let's wrap, let's get one more call in. Heartbreak Dizzy's out in Hayward. What's going on, Heartbreak? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate y'all, man. Right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just want to throw a couple things out. I'm an A's fan, so, I mean, you already know how I feel. But as far as the Giants, like, I just feel like there's no kind of connection in the locker room, anything. And to me, it's just, they're just boring to watch. And, I mean, that sucks because I'm from the Bay Area, but they're just, I can't sit there and watch a Giants game because it's just boring as hell to me. And then one last thing I want to throw out there for Guru, I actually went to Los Gallos Restaurant in Union City, or borderline Hayward, Union City, Fairway Park, bro.
Okay.
They put cheese on my tacos.
There you go, baby. Cash me out one time. There you go. Yeah, that's great, Kay.
That's a win for the
No doubt about it.
Thanks, Heartbreak. No, but he actually brings something up that you were talking about.
The clubhouse, man.
Yeah, the clubhouse. But
I'm going to ask FP today, and I know he can't say a lot, but I'm starting to think something's up.
But you were comparing the A's and the Giants in the green room, and I thought it was a really good point, is that at the very least, the A's, there's some sort of grit. Like, there's some sort of fight.
It comes through the TV.
It's tangible.
Man.
Now, I think it's because they're kind of in a
against the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
It, us,
and it
us versus
day one.
The ownership versus front office. Right. You know, they've set us up to fail, so we only have one choice to dig ourselves out of
it. Doesn't mean, though, Evan, the Giants can't show their own version of just, they don't seem like they're on the same page. And remember that day I told you against the Yankees that Sunday where Soto hit that bomb? I know we're up against
it. Oh, my God.
Off Doval.
Has
and
it
I
landed?
Said Matt Chapman was looking at Doval like, and I sent the video to Willard and Dibbs. They're on the air, and they looked at it kind of gooey. But I'm telling you, Evan, I saw something, and now I firmly believe there's something not going on in that clubhouse. Am I saying everybody hates everybody? No. But there's something, a disconnect when it comes to cohesiveness. And you can't tell me that doesn't follow you on the field.
Well, it's funny you bring up the Soto home run off of Duvall. And that, I think that was the blown save. He gave up four runs. I was in the clubhouse after that game. There was something that happened that I thought was a little telling about Camilo Duvall. And I do want to get to that on the other side. I also want to talk about, because Farhan was, again, he was peppered by the media yesterday before the game. Sam Lubman was in there, asked a really nice question. We can get to that. But also, I think someone asked an important question, which is basically, where is this team after 6 years? You know, if you're a fan right now, 888-957-9570, where is the team right now after 6 years? Is it in the same place? Is it in a better place? Is it in a worse place? I think everything's on the table right now as it pertains to Farhan Zaidi. All right, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. You can go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Also, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Joe the Guru Johnson. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, hey, Stain. I listen to you a lot, except when my wife's in the car, then it's music.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That's a smart man.
Wow.
I'm not gonna lie. Smart man.
I got a neighbor, took plus 29 South Sudan.
A neighbor?
Not me, a neighbor. South Sudan plus 29.
His last name in with Tay.
They almost won last time.
Huh?
They almost won last time.
Yeah, I know, which is why I think they're going to get obliterated this
play
time.
Play Jason Tatum, Kerr. The world is so mad.
You know what? I don't even care. Forget Jason Tatum.
But you did keep it real yesterday. I said, if you were Tatum, would that have bothered you?
No, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed.
Would you really?
Yeah, of course. I want to get in the. I didn't come to Paris just to sightsee.
And you're playing my teammate who I like.
Not Tyrese Halliburton.
But you forgot about me?
I'm sorry. Did I just win an NBA championship?
Yeah, you
did. I just get the richest contract in the history of basketball just to get a DMP coach's decision?
Check.
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No, America's going to wax so damn.
Yeah.
You can
we hope.
Put that in the cap.
Yeah.
All right. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz. Again, he's out in London. He'll be back next week. Daryl the Guru Johnson with you all week, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. And, you know, again, it's kind of just following the Giants, in my opinion, lifeless trade deadline. Really lifeless July 30th, you know.
Man.
Even going back to the 29th, you know, trading Soler, trading Cobb, not doing much else at the deadline, you know, going to get Mark Canha. Who I do like. I mean, I think Mark Canha used to be a very good player. I'm not sure he is much anymore.
But I think we've seen the last of Flores because he's hurt in a Giant uniform. That very well may be his replacement, Evan. So I'm not mad at Canha for that.
And I do want to get to this sound in a moment. You know,
and
again,
your payoff tease.
Duvall.
What you saw.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Duvall, starts with a D. I think that's the grade that I would give their trade deadline, the San Francisco Giants. I wouldn't give them an F because technically they did accomplish a couple of things. We'll see if that ends up paying off, but I would give it a D. I mean, here's basically what they did yesterday, the Giants, in addition to losing 5-2 and giving up four home runs to the Oakland Athletics. They minimized their future financial commitments. They didn't hurt, but they also didn't help their postseason chances. And I think this is probably the most damning part, speaking of D, is they put faith in players who to this point haven't earned it.
Wow.
You know, they have put faith in the guys that have gotten them to this point, which has produced a team that's three games below 500. So that's what they quote unquote accomplished at the deadline. They saved some money. They didn't hurt their postseason chances, or they didn't change them drastically one way or the other. And they basically doubled down on players that have gotten them to this point. To Farhan's point, the players will dictate the rest of the season for us. Well, I guess he's a man of his word because they are. And it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction.
Wow. And you know what? We should have saw this coming, Evan, right before you left for your vacay when he basically said, it's on the players. Like, that was odd. I'm not saying he was right or wrong, but when I heard that, I was like, oh, boy. I was disappointed because that's coming from a guy that's got security that a lot of people think he does not have. So when this season is over, regardless if it culminates with a playoff berth or not, Evan, I believe Farhan Zaidi will be your baseball president of baseball operations going into next year, man. It's just, I just think about that. Who I can't even think of a name, a woman or a man that's called in and said, this dude deserves to keep going. Like, when is enough enough? And what it sends from the faceless ownership, because that's what I call them, is there's no accountability. And as a fan, that's all you want. That's all you want, Evan, is to believe, you know what, not 1 or 2 years, not 3, but when you get to 6 or 7 of futility and failure, And a guy that finally said yes to you and could hit 30 home runs, because let me remind you, the Giants haven't had a guy hit 30 home runs since Barry Bonds.
Damn.
Just think about that. Brent 30 Rook- home runs. Your boy's got 26.
Brent Rooker just hit his 26th last night.
Come on, man. What are we doing? You can't identify power?
Oh, boy. Well, they tried.
And yeah, and you're guessing them with the third of the season left.
They identified solar power. They didn't know
Jack Clark, Daryl Evans, Kevin Mitchell, Jeff Kent, Bonds. Keep helping me. Oh, my gosh. And you can't get a dude in here with 30 jacks?
No. And that ain't just a Farhan problem either. I mean, no one's been able to do it since a guy who has hit the most home runs in the history of baseball.
Chili Davis!
Are you serious?
He's the last homegrown that's hit it, that's done it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, they went out to get solar power this summer, or this offseason.
I've never heard that.
But yeah, they ended up with an LED light. Like, seriously. I mean, they got nothing out of it.
They jump up with it.
They got nothing
solar
from Warren.
Solar power!
They tried to find it, but it wasn't there. Or the sun wasn't very big. But that's why, you know, again, we're talking about sort of the redundancy of irrelevancy for Farhan Zaidi, right? And that's why I think some of these questions from his press conference yesterday, I mean, you could just recycle them, whether it was last year or next year. Okay, so, hey, Farhan, you know, where is this team after 6 years?
I know you get to this time of year, and frankly, whenever you're a little bit on the competing bubble like we are, we're, you know, 3 games out in the wild card race.
Bubble.
There's a notion of, you know, let's sell and let's enhance the farm system. But, you know, you can have all the prospects you want. It's not going to matter until you actually create opportunities for them, right? So you can go out and get a bunch of guys, but if you're not willing to do some of the things we did over the last couple of days to create opportunities for those guys, it's just not going to have a chance to impact your major league team. So, you know, really to answer your question, I would say, I think what fans want to see, I think what we can hang our hat on as an organization is the progress of young players coming up and impacting us. And I named 3 guys, and that's not including, you know, guys like Eric Miller and Brett Wisely that were acquired into this organization, but are young players who have a chance to be here for a long time. So the more of that, you know, the more we have guys coming up, establishing themselves, you know, like a Pat Bailey did last year, I think that's where the progress is coming from.
But isn't that all about, okay, if I can just kind of parse his words a bit. So he said that they want to hang their hat on the young players. And let's just leave the best rotation in baseball out of it. From that statement, he said, Zaidi did, they hang their hat on, you know, their young players, right? You mm-hmm. know, Bailey's a success. Ramos is obviously a success. I think Harrison, though he hasn't been, you know, to the level of those other 2 players, he's been good. I mean, Kyle Harrison has made 18 starts this year. He's got a sub-4 ERA. He's been good this year. Birdsong, I would consider a win for them in the youth department. Like, yes, but he also said that we're not going to just sell to grab a hoard of prospects because you need opportunity, right? You need a pathway for those prospects. But then a few sentences later, he said that our priority is clearing a pathway. So he's going in circles. At least that's what I hear. They want to prioritize younger players, but they don't want to acquire more of them because there's a stopgap in some places, but not in others. But I don't really know how you're going to find out if you have any potential in these young players unless you empower them.
Yeah, man. Evan, I agree, but also what's confusing and baffling about that is, hey, Farhan, don't you dare act like you set out from spring training, we're just going to run with the young guys. Then that makes sense. But why that sounds like mumbo jumbo is the fact that you went and got OGs to you know, you went and spent $200 million on older players. And that's where the disconnect is. He's talking from a premise of we're just going to run the youngsters out there and watch them grow, and that's who the 2024 Giants are going to be. Nah, bud, that's part of it. Talk about the other failures and guys that you just got out of here, including Soler, pulling the plug on him before a full year. So it doesn't match, Evan. It just he's just mumbo jumbo.
Soler's hitting leadoff, by the way, for the Braves.
Well.
I do think that's kind of funny.
That's just so watch him just go on a binge.
Well, but that also tells me that it wasn't Melvin's choice. It might not have been even Farhan's. It means like Soler wanted to hit leadoff. That's why the Braves brought him in, apparently. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Infrastini with Goo. Trying to figure out again. Like, what has changed? Seriously. Like, where is this team after 6 years? That was what was asked to him. And Zaidi emphasized the youth movement. I think the younger players are in a better position than they were 6 years ago. He's right about that. But 6 years is a long time to finally be seeing some fruit. Like, that's a long time that those seeds have been stuck in the ground. And I know there was a pandemic and so maybe got pushed back, but still, 5 or 6 seasons, that's a long, long time to just see now the promise of players who could help you in the future,
man.
But right now can't even help you get above 500.
And you said it at the beginning of the show, Evan. Let's not act, and I'm doing this now, because I will say this about Kerr, who I love, but he lucked out with Moody and Kuminga because he almost had to go to them in necessity. And that's what Farhan had to do here with the Giants. You know, it was never, we're going to empower you, Evan. Here it is. We're going to give you such amount of time and games. Show us what you got. It was always by default or injury. And that's what the, you know, minor leagues are for. But miss me with, oh, we saw something in Evan and we called him up. And you guys yanked your boy's chain, Ramos. And to his credit, he was still able to stay on stride and do what he did and turn that first half into an all-star. But I could say that you mined, you know what, Matos into what he's doing right now because you were yanking his chain. And the same goes with who's the one that Luciano. Like, you know, you guys botched that. So Farhan, you could I think he thinks the words coming out of his mouth are poetry. But really, you're just talking in circles. Kay got in my ear. It sounded like he was doing a freestyle rap. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you got like, what word can I, you know? And it's just, it ain't smooth at all. And either has your tenure. And no, the only people defending Farhan right now are the ones that work for the Giants and know they need that check. I get that. And I'm listening because you know I love me some announcers. They're wearing it too. And some I appreciate and reporters are keeping it 100 by saying what they're watching and what they're commentating is not good enough. And you can just listen to a Giant broadcast, radio, TV, it's wearing on them, Evan. And I appreciate that they're not ducking and telling me it's Halle Berry when it's really Molly Ringwald. You know what I mean?
Molly Ringwald.
Actress in Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That one took a minute.
Yeah, I'm a little older than you. Look at Kay, like, oh boy. Molly Ringwald.
Oh my goodness. No, she was a looker. Yeah. But this is the other part, too. It's like, okay, so 6 years.
Good God.
It's a long time. We didn't know each other 6 years ago.
No, we did not, E.
2018. Yeah, so I would have been, oh boy, a couple years out of college.
I'd have been 30. Wow, you laughed a little too hard, E. I'm in the 303 now.
No, I know. Yeah, oh, yeah, well, that's coming up. We are going to get to that in a moment.
My boy just spit out. That's my, whoa.
Oh, preview the cafeteria. No, I think that, look, 6 years, it's a long time to be sort of stuck in this cycle. And if you are going to hang your hat, like, that's why I wonder, at the end of this year, you know, what is the sell? I saw a lot of sell shirts last night at Oracle Park. They're talking about selling the A's. But what is Farhan's sell? If Farhan is to try to keep his job, if Farhan is to continue to run this operation, what is he going to sell? Because it sounded like yesterday he was selling, not giving up wholly on the season, but not really investing much, like not mortgaging any part of your future to invest in this season. Just kind of riding it out, yeah. You know, just taking the soft wave in. But also selling the young players. Well, what if those young players don't work out? You know, some of them are going to be good, just probability. Some of them are not going to be good, but it can't just be those guys. That's why the offseason choice to spend so much money, I felt like, was originally a bit of an indictment on your farm system. Because if you really did have those promising prospects that were coming up, well, then you wouldn't have gone out and spent so much money to fill those holes. Like, you know, Farhan, again, in that clip, he just talked about you need opportunity for these young players. You need a pathway. Well, naturally, if you go and sign Chapman and you sign, I mean, Lee's a little bit younger, but you sign Lee, you keep Conforto, you have Yaz, you have these veterans on your roster, well, then there's no room for Matos and Ramos. And those players have only emerged because of injuries. So it just feels, again, to your point, Gu, yesterday, we're like, they've pivoted in 4 months. They've gone from all in to all out to all in next year. And I'm not really sure who they believe in on this team.
Right. And that's why I believe Soler flew out to right field in his first at bat. But I'll tell you this, Evan, that's why I think he is not under pressure or is going to get fired. Somebody is allowing him to do this or continue to do this. And you're right. You said it, man. You said it so well in regard to why would you go spend on, we'll call them the OGs. And like you said, Lee is not 50, but you didn't go all in with the youngsters. You didn't say this is the direction we're going. There might be some turbulence or whatnot, growing pains. You went and spent like you knew you had action, Evan, and you got bailed out by Ramos in that first half. You know what I mean? So you got bailed out by Birdsong and his spot starts. But how I'm just looking at this team, and D. Lou put it on the YouTube chat, or help me out, Evan. The Giants stink, and that's what they do. I feel like Steiny. They stink right now, and I'm never going to sit here, and I'm waiting on FP and Dibs. And
they were stinky last night.
And our guy, Grandy, about what I heard yesterday. But
I think Grandy would agree with you.
No, but they jumped him yesterday, so I'm going to help him out. But I'm just telling you, Evan, who's excited about what it is?
What?
It was verbal jump, but yeah.
Same prison.
Yeah. Dibs didn't throw him a life preserver at all. What are you going to be happy about right now?
What am I going to be happy about right now?
I'll tell you.
What?
That's New City Connects. The Dave Fleming told Ponte and Chatsky he had seen them, but they got a new edition coming next year. In the car like, yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. The Giants got something new coming their way. But the other thing, too, is, okay, so you spoke about, you know, some of the broadcasters are, the only people that basically have confidence in Farhan publicly would be people close to the team.
Okay, all right.
I think there was a lot of that up until, say, the last month of the season last year with Gabe Kapler. Remember, we started to hear about all the reports coming out of the clubhouse.
The walk with Webb in L.A.
The Pasoy problem.
Yeah, the Pasoy problem.
The Pasoy problem in the clubhouse. There was a lot of those things that he kind of leaked out. And then it became clear that this guy, he was not going to be able to keep his job. I don't think we've gotten to that point yet, but give you a subpar month of baseball in August. And again, the calendar turns tomorrow. But if there's a subpar month of August and the September schedule, which looks very difficult, playing a lot of playoff teams.
Okay.
I do think we might hear more of that noise. Right now, we're you know, I think people just want the guy gone. But it does feel like publicly he still has people in his corner.
And you very well, no, I get it. But Evan, it's bigger than, you know, these last 2 months to me. It's what have you built? What do you got your fan base excited about? And outside of the, 2021 season where they won 107?
Yeah.
It's been nothing there. So I'll leave that there. But I do wonder, I really do, when I think about the Giants, where does Melvin fit in all this? I'm not saying he deserves to be fired. I know he got, you know, he left San Diego and he got a gig. I get that.
But Evan, the more I watch Giants play, man, I just wonder, is he the guy to lead them into the next trek of meaningful baseball?
Well, I can tell you what, I don't think this is the vision that Bob Melvin was sold. Like, seriously, if you're at the beginning of the season, you're coming over from San Diego, which he probably left only in the first place because he did not get along with A.J. Preller.
Gotcha.
And just didn't get along with the organization. He wanted to get out of there. But seriously, like, how far away is the vision that was sold to Bob Melvin to what he has now? I think that's why people have also, you know, thrown some criticism his way, and he's probably deserved of some. His team's not very good. But I just, at least for right now, you know, I can't place most of the blame at his feet because I'm not really sure what he's supposed to do. Again, you look at the lineup yesterday and Fitzgerald's hitting leadoff because he's your hottest hitter. It just feels like Bob Melvin has to ride, you know, three or four hot hands because he doesn't have one or two that he can rely on. And the one that was supposed to be your middle of the order bat, you just shipped to Atlanta. So I think he's out of options when it comes to trying to get the most out of his offense. And that's my biggest concern for the rest of the season. You can ride your starting pitching as long, you know, the starting pitching could be great the rest of the way, final 2 months. It could be awesome. If a Giants opponent scores the number we saw last night, number 5, I don't think they're going to win very many games.
And that's a boy, you know.
You can't score 5 runs, you're done. You can't win consistently.
Tell him, LeBron. And Evan, tell me if I'm doing too much. I'm honing in on the play last night. So do you think that was Melvin's gut? Because when I hear the word gut, well, I'm thinking about me. Bruce Bochy, who was so well, one of the best to ever do it, he managed with his gut. Do you think the computer, or was that Melvin saying, hey, Lamont Wade Jr., he hadn't had a bat all night. Go up there and hit. Or what Farhan was telling the world was, it's about the Lucianos and making a way for their future. Why would you rob Luciano of that opportunity? What was that? Do you think that was Melvin? Do you think that was sort of the computer? I don't know, but I hate I have those questions. And I know people are out there, it was just one at bat. But it was also an indictment on everything you guys keep. It's like you're bipolar. You say one thing, but you do another. Luciano should have got that at bat if you're asking me last night, Evan.
Well, let's take that at bat, because I think if you are prioritizing, to Farhan's words, young guys, development, prospects, well, that's a great prospective situation.
Hello?
You know, that's a perfect opportunity for a young guy to get a big at bat in a big moment in a big spot and try and do something with it. But if you're going to ask me why he did it, well, I think it's simple. It's Tyler Ferguson's a righty. Lamont, you have him on the bench for that situation. You're going to go left on right as opposed to right on right. But that's where, again, there's a disconnect. Okay, so are we trying to win games or are we trying to develop? Because it feels like they're trying to do both. And in trying to do both, as we've seen, they've gotten nowhere.
Right. And if Luciano's a top prospect and you're telling me early on I got to sit him if a lefty or a righty is out there, that's already an indictment. I thought his bat was his bat, Evan. That's already telling me, okay, brother got to work it out. Like, he should have went up there and been empowered. Go be you. Take advantage of the situation in the trade that we made where we gave away somebody that had way more power than you. It's done it. And we cleared the way for you. Oh, but because there's a righty or lefty on the bump, you got to come back? That is weak. That just sounds weak.
A little bit. I'll tell you what's not weak, though. This 3-on-3 tournament we got coming up, too. I can't wait. Although I haven't picked up a basketball in like months, dude. I swear to God. If I'm going to get out on this court, I got to go get some.
You got handles, E? I'm trying to picture you out. Shasky got handles.
Sure. Sure, I got handles.
I love it.
I also, wink, wink, got a jump shot. I'm also 6'5". Okay, the Hoop It Up 3-on-3 basketball tournament is returning to Thrive City for its second year on Sunday, August 11th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. 95.7 The Game is putting a team in the tournament, and we're paying for registration for 3 listener teams as well. That contest will be this Friday at noon. Again, the Hoop It Up tournament is established and owned by KG. What's it? Nothing easy. And includes recreational divisions from ages 8 to 18 and up. as well as adult divisions at all levels. Each team has allowed a max of 5 players with 3 players on the court and up to 2 subs. I'll be coming off the bench. For all details, go to hoopitup.com/San Francisco. If you think you can beat our team, I got an idea of who will be on it. We can reveal that later in the week, but I'll let you guess for now. If you think you can beat our team, make sure you're listening this Friday at noon. We're giving away 3 free entries to the tournament. If you win, you'll be able to field your own 3-on-3 team and take on the competition. I also, again, I think we got to get into one of the reasons why I also want to dig deeper into this press conference, Scoop, from yesterday is, yeah, number one, it's important. But number two, I'm not sure how many people were able to actually listen to a ton of it because it wasn't publicly available and it wasn't promoted. It wasn't thrown in people's faces. And I don't know about you, but I would want to hear from my president of baseball operations if he's speaking about the direction of the franchise I root for.
Yeah, Ken and I talked, if this were New York, Dallas, Philly, Boston, that bad boy would be live. And then, Evan, there would be a reaction to it, a post-game press or a panel on what you heard. That was strange.
And that's what's coming up on The Game, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment also brought to you by Express Employment Professionals.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.